Hello and welcome to episode number 70 of the Rollo and Slappy Show. Today is December 18th, 2017. I am Rollo McFlugel and with me is Slappy Jones 2 and we are both of McFlugel.com. The show notes page for this episode is McFlugel.com/70 where you'll find ways to follow us on social media as well as subscribe to this podcast. So I'm going to hand it right over to Slappy and he's going to introduce our episode topic.
Hey Rollo, thank you. And thanks everyone for listening. This week's topic, we're going to talk about the 24-hour news cycle. Constantly changing, constantly in your face. There's always a big panic, whether it's for ratings or to get you to vote for some legislation or whatever the case is. It seems like every week there's another crisis coming. We've had all these diseases, West Nile, bird flu, swine flu, SARS, Ebola, seems like every winter there's a new disease that's coming around and killing everyone. You always have another country ready to bomb us with nukes, typically Iran or North Korea, and of course they never do. But, Rollo, what are your thoughts on the 24-hour news cycle and what's going on there and why is it an issue?
I just wish people would notice it more. That they realize how badly they were getting played, because it's always panic. Like you said, just a couple of examples brought up. Recently, the panic behind this Republican tax bill that's supposedly it's going to kill poor people, and then all the drama they drummed up for net neutrality, saying that you know it's the end of the internet as we know it. How could we ever do without it? Even though it was only put in place since 2015. So you would think that after all the yelling and screaming carrying on about, oh, you know, the terrible things are about to happen, and then it comes and goes, and nothing of the sort happens, you would think that people would say, hey, wait a second. Maybe I should stop paying attention to them as much. And it's a shame because not everything that's covered on the news is necessarily to be covered. There's plenty of important things going on in the world. It's just frustrating to the point where I know personally, if the news makes a big deal about something, I'm probably going to, at least in the beginning for a while, just kind of brush it off. It's the boy who cried wolf. If they keep, you know, yelling and screaming and nothing ever happens, and you know, who's going to pay attention to them when there's actually something important going on?
No, that's true. That's funny because we live in the Northeast part of the country, the Mid-Atlantic part.
I know what you're about to say.
Yeah, because every winter it's the next giant snowstorm's coming and everyone's in the supermarkets getting their milk, bread, and eggs. And, you know, I don't know the exact percentages, but I don't believe it anymore. They could be calling for 4 feet of snow and I won't believe it because they're always wrong. Almost, it seems.
Was it last year that the storm kind of caught everyone off guard and it was actually pretty bad?
I think it was. I kind of remember that. Not expecting that.
I missed my flight to Sweden because of it. Oh. They just shut down the airport. But it's funny. And bringing up the North Korea and Iran, apparently only sometimes threatening to send nuclear bombs and missiles our way. They never talk about the actual death and destruction that goes on from the United States and its allies. That's, you know, or if they do actually mention something like Yemen on 60 Minutes, they'll just casually omit the fact that the United States is involved in any way, other than being the, you know, the humanitarian activist. They would paint them as.
That was what I was going to bring up. There's a 60 Minutes episode. It was a couple of weeks ago.
Right.
Where they actually did talk about the people starving in Yemen. They just didn't talk about who's doing it.
Yeah. Oh, it was great because I had someone very condescendingly ask me if I knew what was going on in Yemen. So I just watched the 60 Minutes last night, and it's pretty terrible what's going on over there. I said, yeah, do you know the U.S. is involved in that blockade? And his reaction was, well, Saudi Arabia is our allies, so sweet. I don't want to get tied up, and because I know we can both go off on talking about wars and everything, but it's just
Just think of some things I just thought a couple other stories coming to mind. Local things that we wrote about on our blog. The Eric Freen. Remember that? Manhunt. The guy shot a cop, a state cop, out in the middle of Pennsylvania and was hiding in the mountains for weeks, and they had every cop in the area looking for him. And when they found him, that just disappeared from the news. No one knows what happened to him. He could be dead. I have no idea. That no one just kind of got dropped. There was another local story, local to me, where a prisoner who was arrested for marijuana or drug paraphernalia escaped, and he was on the run for 3 days. And they had all our local cops out there with their tactical gear and their rifles, and they finally caught the pothead. And no one knew, that was just dropped. It was the biggest story for three straight days. That's all you could hear about around here. And it just disappears. No one follows up. And why do you think that is?
They're selling papers. I mean, that's at the end of the day, that's what the media is. Their goal is they're out to make money, which is fine. I'm not critical of that aspect of it. They, you know, wouldn't exist. That's not necessarily true. You know, they're out to sell papers, they're out to make money, they're out to get ratings, so they kind of, I guess they're giving the people what they want.
Yeah, I don't even...
People are eating it up.
Right, and I don't even think necessarily the individual reporters are purposely doing it or trying to do it. I think they're just covering what people want to see or what they think will sell.
Right. Now, it does reach a point, well, and both sides do it. They have their pet politics they like to play, and so they'll cover one thing over the other, but both sides do it. You know, for as bad and annoying as the left is on lowering taxes, the right is just as bad complaining about someone not worshiping the sky flag properly during a sporting event.
True.
But no, it's you make a good point. People love to rage. And so that's what most of this stuff is. It's look at what these evil Republicans are doing, and then look at what these stupid Democrats are doing. And people love to watch it. Because I remember watching the news when I was younger. I used to, back in my neocon days, used to watch Fox News. And, you know, you watch their nightly lineup. Man, think about it now. The time wasted. Watching three shows in a row, hour-long shows. And they all said the same thing.
Right, but you thought you were informed, right?
Right. And it was great to be like, oh, yeah, there's like, you know, the Bill O'Reilly thing, the pinhead. Yeah. The pinhead of the day. And then I know, what's his name? Keith Olbermann. That's a blast from the past. On MSNBC.
The worst person in the world or something
right.
like that.
And so it's just people. It's people love to hate. People love to rage. And so that's what they're selling to. Another thing I think about, and maybe, I don't know, someone older than me, maybe you, will have to confirm this for me, because maybe I just didn't pay attention or really watch the news much before 9/11, but it seemed like after that, breaking news was used constantly. Like, it was rare when you saw breaking news on the screen, that meant something big just went down.
It could be that. I think it's more, product of 24-hour news cycles. You have channels that are dedicated to the news 24 hours a day. There's only so much to talk about.
Yeah.
Back in the good old days. Now, back in the day when you had ABC, NBC, CBS, and you had an hour of news, an hour of local news and an hour of national news. I mean, that was it. That you got your news in that hour.
Right.
Now you have to fill 24 hours a day. Like you just said, you watch 3 hour long shows and they all say the same thing. It's because there's only so much to talk about.
Yeah.
You know, so you got to fill airwaves. I mean, we say the same thing about ESPN.
Yeah.
You know, they used to, I remember being a kid watching Sports Center in the morning, and they play the same thing, same show over and over again. And I used to love it. I'd watch all the highlights and then I'd watch them all again. Now they have all the opinion shows, and it's just everyone is worse than the one before. And but what are they going to do? They're trying to fill 24 hours of sports coverage, and there's only so many sports being played.
Yeah, there's only so many reruns of the World's Strongest Man competition.
Exactly. Exactly. Now, I do want to talk about one of the things in the news recently. I want to see what you think of it, which I already know what you think of it.
The big tractor story? Listeners.
No, not that one.
Oh.
In fact, I don't even know what you're talking about. So how about you expand on that? What was the big tractor story this week?
They still can plow.
There you go. All right. No, I was going to talk about net neutrality.
Oh, yeah.
What do you think? Don't you think it's good to have a neutral internet?
Yeah, it's funny. What does that even? No, I don't.
I have no idea what that even means. But
I don't know what they mean by that. But no, it's not good. I want ownership. I want private property making the rules, so they can, so the property owners can decide to do what's best with their what they own. And it's with the same with anything else. I don't want neutral supermarkets either. I want them to decide on price and what they stock and what they sell and who they let in and everything else. Who they employ.
Yeah, what I always think of with this situation, I mean, the fear is that, I guess what they're saying, if you let ISP, internet service providers, do whatever they want, they'll charge you more for using more bandwidth, essentially, or they'll direct traffic to certain websites over other ones. And I guess that's the fear. But I always think of the cell phone market. And that's a highly regulated market too, but there's a lot of players and there's a good amount of choice. And I can remember nights and weekends used to be free, and they used to advertise when nights and weekends were free. It used to be a different rate during the day and then a different rate at night. And then they would start advertising free nights and weekends. And so what were they doing there? They were charging you more for using their data during the day or their, you know, their phone lines. I don't know how cell phones actually work, but during when business was going on, there was a higher demand, there was more usage. So they charged you more to use it and gave you the nights and weekends free. If you wanted to call mom at night or, you know, call your friends on the weekend, that was free. And they advertised the heck out of it, put it everywhere. I can still hear it in my head, free nights and weekends. That phrase doesn't even make sense today. Nobody even
right
thinks about that. And it wasn't because the government came in and said, no, you're charging people more during the day. It was their networks got better. They figured out ways to pass data along quicker or, you know, more data at a time, whatever actually went into it. And they were able to give you more for the same or less price. I mean, if I look at my cell phone bill from 10 years ago, I'm probably paying a little more, but not much more. And I get a lot more for it. And if you factor in inflation, I'm probably paying less. And so I don't see why that wouldn't happen in the cable world. I mean, imagine if who's a big cell phone, T-Mobile or Verizon or someone still charged more during the day than at night. They'd go out of business. No one would use them.
Right.
And so if the big cable companies wanted to block sites or charge you more for using Netflix, someone would come up with a way to be able to do that cheaper, I'm sure of it, and be able to give you that access without charging you, which would help drive that other person out of business or force them to adjust.
Oh, sure. They already can. I mean, there's plenty of cheaper options than Verizon's the biggest network. I use Virgin Mobile. They're considerably cheaper. And they use Sprint's network. Now, the service isn't as good, but it's, you know what? Nowadays, it's pretty good. You know, I rarely get a drop call on, I live out in the middle of nowhere. I call someone and the sound quality is pretty good. So,
and that wasn't the case even 10 years ago.
Right. And now the need for having a network, the LTE mm-hmm. 3G thing. There's so many, wireless hotspots out there nowadays that, you know, you're at home, you're not using your data. You're at work, you're probably not using your data. I have, you know, Comcast's cable product, so they have Xfinity hotspots everywhere. Especially if you're in like a city or something, you're on Wi-Fi all the time. So they're finding different ways. I mean, they're even advertising a cell phone service.
Right. And Xfinity is, yeah. But don't you think, I mean, this is what I say, if you just leave it up to the cable companies to do what they want, someone will come up with a better way to deliver your TV shows, whether it's wireless or like Verizon did with Fios, and the fiber optics is a little better than cable. But
oh, yeah. Well, that's what people don't even realize with what's happening right now is if they actually made every signal that your ISP is providing you equally, then there would be an armed revolution out there, because no one's TV picture would be any good for their cable, because it's running on your cable is coming on that line, and cable gets a much bigger priority than internet connection going out, because it needs it. That's why your YouTube video sometimes takes a second or two to load, but when you turn on your cable TV, it's rare that it slows down and has any issues.
It's
fairly choppy.
It's usually crystal clear.
That's because they're given that a much greater priority over your internet connection. So you want all the information going over those cables to be equal? Well, they're certainly not going to, because they're not going to be able to bring that. I don't believe, as far as I'm aware, they'd be able to bring the internet feed up to the cable feed. So they're just going to have to drop everything, or at least drop cable down to, and you're not going to have a good product. And I think people tolerate the every once in a while choppy internet connection compared to what their cable TV showing them. And look at how much, I mean, as regulated as it is, the ISP market, look at how much they've improved it despite all the government involvement. I mean, just having the wireless internet with the Wi-Fi. I mean, a couple of years ago, I remember where I went to college, it was rated, you know, like the most wired campus in the country, or as far as being wireless, they called it. I don't know what they named it, but it was extremely wireless. For that time period. And that was what, I graduated college 7 years ago or so. So going back to a freshman, I was, you know, it was about 10 years ago. And it wasn't, I remember I used to bring the Ethernet cable around and plug in all the time.
Yeah, I was going to say, I'm older than you, but I went my junior year of college, I went over to Best Buy to buy a wireless internet card because my roommate got, I forget what it was, a product from Apple, but you plugged it into your router and got wireless internet, and it was awful, but we thought it was awesome at the time. And I went out and bought a card and put it in the side of my laptop. I mean, no one even knows what that is anymore.
I know. I remember there was one time I was watching an Eagles game and also had a fantasy football draft or something. And so the computer was tucked away in the basement where I couldn't watch the game. So I had to take my laptop and take the Ethernet cable out of the computer and then try to run it through the rest of the basement and plug it into my laptop. It's funny thinking back now, but that wasn't that long ago.
No.
And then even before that, before, you know, where was the internet? It was, you know, the dial-up before that, you know.
And on top of all this, why would anyone expect the FCC to be the one to keep things uncensored?
Right.
Isn't that their job?
Yeah, that's why they were created.
To censor.
And wasn't it in favor of more conservative ideals?
Probably.
Yeah, so it's kind of ironic that the people, you know, really gung-ho for the FCC are the opposite.
I don't know, but the day I trust the FCC to keep things uncensored, there'll be a tag on my toe.
Yeah, we need the free and open internet protected by the FCC.
Yeah, because they do such a great job. So what else you got? You got anything else in the news you want to talk about?
No, because that's all they're talking about. Do they start talking about anything else yet?
Probably.
They're not complaining about Donald Trump in a while, have they?
No, they do that every day.
Oh.
That's actually not, old news now.
Like, okay. But it's not like there's some times where it's just like, this is the worst thing that anyone could ever do. And
I'm
who
sure
knows
there's
what's
people
gonna
doing it. I'm sure you could go to just about any website, any news site, and find that.
That's true.
If you really want it.
Oh, and that's the other thing I wanted to say about that reminded me about when Obama got elected. When Obama got elected the first time, I thought the world as we knew it was going to end. And then it didn't. And then he got elected again. And I thought, all right, well, now the world's going to end as we know it. And then not too long after his second presidency, I realized, wait, there's not much has changed. Not that he was anything but terrible, but it was on the same trajectory as it was already. And the same thing with Trump. I mean, he's terrible, but I don't see what's been going on as a drastic shift in the government's policies for any of them. So that's what kind of woke me up. Obama's second election to a second term is what kind of woke me up a little bit and say, hey, wait a second. Maybe all this panic and everything is a little bit unfounded.
So now you're woke.
Yes. I am that. So with that, unless you had anything more you wanted to add, any news stories that you miss and want to keep complaining about?
No, I'd have to go look back through the archives and see what else we forgot about that was going to kill us.
Yeah, things that were like 3 days ago.
Right. Now, do you got a free market story?
I do. So I don't know if I mentioned this before, but if not, I'll say it again because I think it's pretty neat. But I was having a debate argument on Twitter with someone who didn't even speak English, and right in like Twitter translated it for me. And so we were having a discussion back and forth in our own languages. I was reading my own language, I was writing my own language, and the person I was debating with was doing the same thing. And it was happening as quickly as, you know, people of the same language would be tweeting. And that's just, could you imagine that a couple of years ago?
No.
And even without that, I was doing something. I had something that was, I think, in Spanish, and I wanted to know what was in English. And I just Google, put it right into Google.
Google has a translator. They have more languages than I even knew existed.
Right. And it's all for free. You know, as bad as these some of the things that these companies do. I know we mentioned, I don't know if people are going to get upset. Like, they said nice things about Comcast and Verizon. We get it. They're in bed with the government. That's a terrible thing. But like I mentioned earlier, despite all of that, they still operate on some degree of the market.
Yeah, even if it's a limited free market, they do have competitors. They have to keep up.
And they still innovate to the betterment of consumers. So it's just a pretty neat thing that it just starts happening, and so many services that would go. You know, how much would it cost to get something translated, like really quickly? Like, hey, just to have someone on hand to be like, hey, translate this for me right now.
Yeah, I don't even know how you would do that 20 years ago.
Right. You would need to have someone, I guess, like a translator with you.
Yeah.
So. You know what? Now all those people are out of work.
Yeah, exactly.
Good job. Good job.
Destroyed translators' jobs.
So then maybe it's a job-destroying story.
Right.
So with that, we kind of got a late start tonight. It's interesting.
We got a late start, and we had to call an audible. Our original plan was foiled, I guess. I don't know. We had to change.
Yeah.
Our guest had to cancel.
But that guest will be on soon. That'll be a good one. Maybe that, hopefully it'll be your Christmas surprise, because the next episode that will be released is a Monday. So it kind of works out.
Hopefully.
It'll be a nice Christmas gift from McFlugel to you. So with that, Show notes page for this episode is mcflugel.com/70. You'll find links to subscribe to this podcast on iTunes and Stitcher, as well as a way to subscribe to our email newsletter and follow us on Twitter, like us on Facebook, and follow us on a few other spots in social media. So with that, appreciate you listening and hanging out with us again. We'll catch you next week.
Peace.